Hello everyone, my name is Ki and this is Metamorphoses. Last episode, Phaeton set just about everything on fire while driving the Sun Chariot. Jupiter eventually shot him down with his lightning bolts. This time we look at the immediate aftermath of Phaeton's disastrous journey and discover why Jupiter is, again, a huge dick. This is Book 2, Episode 3, At Least You Become a Constellation, Callisto. Phaeton spectacularly messed everything up and crashed the Sun Chariot into the Earth. His parents, Clymene and the Sun, both grieve in their own way. The Sun does not shine, and Clymene cries after she's finally found Phaeton's tombstone. Meanwhile, Phaeton's sisters, because apparently he had sisters, also grieve. These sisters are called the Sun Daughters in my translation, so I suppose they are sisters on the father's side. They gather by his tombstone and cry and hit their breast and call for Phaeton all day and night. Phaeton, of course, cannot hear them, because he is dead. This goes on for an amazing 4 months. The oldest sister of the three, Phaetusa, one day wants to kneel on the ground by her brother's tombstone, when she notices that her feet are quite stiff. Another sister, Lampegia, goes to help her, but also cannot move. She is stuck to the floor with roots like a tree. The third sister, whose name is not mentioned, tries to reach out to Lampegia's hair, but she accidentally rips out a few leaves. All three sisters watch bark grow around their own legs, and their arms become branches. The bark slowly creeps higher and higher over their hips, stomach and breast, shoulders and arms, until only their heads are still visible. They call for their mother, who research tells me is someone called Neaira, the personification of light and the rays of the sun. Neaira goes to her daughters and hugs them, one by one. She tries in vain to tear them loose and even tears off some of the branches, but blood seeps out of the broken stumps and the girls scream at their mother to stop. Eventually, the bark reaches above their mouths and envelops their whole face. They have become trees. Still, their tears keep flowing and the fluid that drips off their branches later becomes amber in the sun. This amber is then used as jewelry by other girls who come across it and are not trees. Someone else is watching all this. His name is Kyknus. For people who know some Greek, his fate is already known, seeing as his name means literally swan. Kyknus was somehow related to Phaeton on his mother's side, and they were good friends. He was apparently king or ruler of the Ligurians, but came to the resting place of Phaeton, and now the place where his sisters stood, to grieve. Also, apparently, though he is a relative here, some ancient writers described him as Phaeton's lover. Kyknus weeps and cries until suddenly his voice stops working and his hair is replaced with white feathers. His neck is elongated and between his toes webbing appears. Feathers appear all over his body and his mouth becomes a beak. He's a fucking swan. Who would have thought? I suppose at that point nobody would have thought, because apparently this was a new kind of bird. The swan specifically also does not go very high into the air, at least according to Ovid, I'm not a bird expert. So he's never too close to Jupiter, who killed Phaeton with his lightning. Instead he swims, lives and nests in the water, the opposite of fire. Meanwhile, in this lovely parade of people grieving for Phaeton's stupid ass, it's his father's turn, again. His father, the sun, does not shine anymore, and he's wearing mourning clothes, which had the effect of making the sun look like it does during an eclipse. Whenever he tries to shine, the sunlight reminds him of his son. He's sad and angry. At one point, he just says, "Fuck it, I'm out," and decides to no longer drive the sun chariot around the sky. Somebody else should try to do it, and if nobody dares to drive the chariot, then Jupiter himself should just do it. If he's too busy with the horses, he might for a change not shoot lightning at father's sons and kill them. Maybe when he's badly driving the chariot himself, Jupiter will realize that not everyone who does something poorly should die. The gods go to the sun and beg him to please not make it completely dark. Even Jupiter comes to reluctantly apologize for killing Phaeton, but don't think he's suddenly a good guy now. He still takes some time to also threaten the sun. Somehow, this convinces him to keep driving the sun chariot, and still sad and enraged, the sun again comes up in the morning. Thank you. After all this, Jupiter goes around the world to inspect if nothing was terribly destroyed by the fires. He first, of course, goes to the home of the gods in the sky, and only then to the earth, to see if no houses or cities were too badly burned. He's most worried about a particular part of Greece, Arcadia. That's about in the middle of the Peloponnese. The rivers there are still anxious to come out of hiding, and Jupiter coaxes them back out. He gives grass back to their land, leaves to the trees, but then he sees something interesting. Or, more accurately, someone. Jupiter comes across a young woman from Nonacris in Arcadia. He, of course, falls instantly in love, or more likely for Jupiter, in lust. The woman, actually still a girl, was not someone who stayed at home and spun wool there. She wore a white band in her hair and a belt around her clothes, because she was a huntress. She held a spear and a bow and arrows. This girl was called Callisto, and she was a huntress of Diana. She was, in fact, one of Diana's favourites. One day in the afternoon, Callisto walked through the forest and stopped in a clearing. She untied her bow and lay down in the grass. Jupiter saw her there, and it is mentioned that he saw that she was unguarded. Ew. He contemplates to himself that his wife, Juno, will never find out if he had a little fun with Callisto. Like that'll work, Juno always finds out. Even if Juno finds out, Jupiter thinks, the only consequence for him will be a fight with her. That's not so bad. Jupiter then disguises himself to look like Diana and approaches Callisto. He asks her how the hunt went, and apparently the right answer to this question, according to Callisto, is to say that she likes Diana a lot more than Jupiter. Jupiter, disguised as Diana, seems to find this funny and kisses Callisto. Callisto does not actually seem to mind this part, so from now on, according to me, Callisto is a lesbian. Callisto decides to actually answer the earlier question and starts to tell Jupiter where she went hunting, but he again kisses her, more forcefully this time. Callisto notices something is not right, and she tries to resist and get away, but she can't. Of course, Jupiter is more powerful as king of the gods. Callisto is only a mortal girl. After everything is done and Jupiter has raped Callisto, he returns home to the skies. Callisto runs away from the clearing in the woods, almost leaving her bow and quiver. Diana comes back from a hunt, laden with her spoils, sees Callisto and calls out to her. Callisto runs away, thinking Diana is still Jupiter in disguise. When she sees the other nymphs with Diana, she realizes this is actually the real Diana and goes to join them. But Callisto had trouble pretending that everything is normal. Her eyes never leave the ground and she no longer hunts close to Diana like before. She's silent. The nymphs around Diana notice that something is wrong and they think they know what has happened, but Diana does not notice. 9 months later, Diana is tired after hunting all day and goes to wash herself in a creek in the forest. She steps into the water, which is very nice, and encourages the others to join her in the water. The other girls take off their clothes, but Callisto stalls. Eventually, the others rip off her clothes and Callisto tries to hide her stomach, but it's too late. Diana has seen that she is pregnant. She sends Callisto away at once. Honestly, I've always found this kind of weird, seeing as Diana is also the goddess of childbirth, and Callisto, now 9 months pregnant, probably needs her quite soon. Juno, meanwhile, of course has seen what's going on. She's a fucking goddess. She knows the shit Jupiter gets up to. She decides to wait a while for revenge. Now, with Callisto kicked out of Diana's group, the time for revenge has come. Callisto had given birth to a son, named Arcas. Juno is furious about this, and remember, it's again, like with Io, the wrong person she's angry at. She goes to Callisto and takes some time to yell at her. Juno calls her a slut because she had not only slept with Jupiter, even though that was clearly against her will, she had even given him a son. Now everyone would know the injustice towards Juno. Juno will erase Callisto's beauty, because that's what had caused all of this trouble. And the way Juno decides to do this is not conventional, but still logical for a work called the Metamorphoses. She grabs Callisto by the hair and fucking smacks her against the ground, which sounds like something out of a video game. When Callisto raises her arms to beg Juno for mercy, she sees that her arms have become hairy, and there is now a dark brown fur on them. Her hands become claws, and her mouth now has broad jaws. She can no longer beg Juno to stop, because she can only growl. She has become a bear. Like with Io, Callisto is still aware inside her skin as a bear. Her heart is still that of a human. She raises her paws to the sky, to the stars, and feels that Jupiter will not help her. Scared to sleep alone in the forest, she stays close to her home, but gets chased away by dogs and hunters. Often she forgets that she's a huge bear and hides from other wild animals and other bears. She is also terrified of wolves. But here we learn that Callisto's father is somehow Lycaon, the human Jupiter turned into a wolf somewhere in episode 3 or something. I have no idea how that works. It is mostly because of Lycaon that Jupiter decided to flood the Earth, so he should be dead, as a wolf is not a fish, and dead wolves cannot have daughters. Or he had Callisto before the flood as a human, or maybe the short period he was a wolf, and she somehow survived the flood, even though only Deucalion and Pyrrha survived. Anyway, 15 or 16 years go by, and Arcas, now a young man, goes hunting one day. He does not know what happened to his mother, and suddenly sees a huge bear in the forest. Callisto recognizes her son and stands still. Arcas retreats. She comes closer and Arcas raises his spear and intends to stab her in the breast, when suddenly Jupiter stops him, and then for some reason decides the best idea is to raise both of them into the sky and make them constellations. Juno is of course not very happy with this. Her rival is now literally in the stars. She goes to the ocean to two very respected old deities, Oceanus and Tethys. They ask what brought Jupiter here and tells them about Callisto, now in the heavens. When it gets dark, they'll see her there. Even when people hurt Juno, they apparently now get rewarded. Nobody is scared of her anymore. She made Callisto no longer a human, and now she's practically a goddess. Jupiter could even make her no longer a bear. Juno couldn't do anything. He did it to Io. Why doesn't he just chase Juno out of their bedroom and just take the girl there? Juno asks the ocean deities to ban Callisto from the sea, to never let her constellation into the ocean. The gods promised this, and Juno went back to her home in the sky, slightly vindicated. And that was it for this week. Next time we jump into another story, that about the birth of Asclepius, the later god of medicine. As always, you can find me on Twitter at MetamorphosesK and on Tumblr at key-metamorphoses. Until next time, bye!